broken bones and your lungs full of water and broken neck.
When somebody jump off that damn bridge, they have no clue, man. You go up there with this kind of romantic notion. Or if you jump off that bridge, plan on it. Plan on feeling your bones break.
The truth is, it's not tall enough to kill you on impact. And you will wake up in hell.
Your topic is very much in the news these days, particularly between San Francisco and Tampa, Florida. There seems to be a lot of discussion about people jumping off of bridges.
It is a popular topic, and unfortunately, it continues to be. I'm looking at the website right now that, you know, your listeners may want to check out, called SkywayBridge.com. The gentleman who runs that, named Phil, who prefers to stay anonymous, I don't believe that's his real name, has listed 238 jumpers as he chronicles, you know, the number of people who have attempted to jump. He has 204 suicides, 33 survivors, and among those, one murder. A woman, in fact, from my hometown, from Lakeland, she was murdered before she got to the bridge by her ex-husband, and then she was left, I believe, in a burning car, oddly enough, and he jumped off the bridge, the guy who committed the murder. So SkywayBridge.com is the best chronicle, I think, of the number of people who have gone over the side, because whenever somebody does, Phil, the man who runs the site, he gets a call, you know, from people on the bridge who are held up in traffic, who've heard about it. And it's good that he's doing this, because the media has kind of backed off, unless it's really sensational, has backed off any kind of stories about what happens on the bridge. I think they believe it it deters people. You know, the less people hear about other people jumping from the bridge, you know, the fewer people, I guess, is their logic, that would jump off the bridge.
You obviously faced that question as you thought about doing this documentary. What made you decide to go ahead and look at the whole issue?
I was always fascinated by the people who jumped off the bridge and survived. As I think I mentioned on Phil's website, he has 33 survivors over the time that he's kept score, if you will, of people jumping off the bridge. It's the people who survived that a jump like that, whether it was from the Skyway Bridge or the bridge in San Francisco, the Golden Gate, that how did they do it? You know, it's just incredible that somebody could survive that kind of a jump, you know, hitting the water at 75, 100 miles an hour. You know, it's like jumping off a building onto a concrete parking lot. So,
now, I was just in San Francisco for the National Hearst Competition with one of the students here from the College of Journalism, and that topic was pretty hot in San Francisco, as I think the city is moving toward putting up a net under the bridge because they're finding out that people who had decided to jump and survived said they changed their mind as they were, you know, just as they jumped. And you kind of found the same thing to be true, too, didn't you?
I did. Hans Jones, the gentleman in my radio piece that I interviewed who survived, he knew like a second after he jumped. He said that, this was a big mistake. I wish I hadn't done this. He was lucky enough to survive, and as a matter of fact, he not only survived, he mended very well. I mean, you wouldn't know it's somebody who jumped off a bridge. He doesn't have any physical ailments that are apparent from that. And he, oddly enough, in a weird way, feels that it was one of the best things he ever did, because now he looks at life in a totally different way. You know, each day is really precious to him, and he's just not the kind of sour, semi-depressed. He doesn't let things get to him like they used to where he gets in a mood that, you know, he might want to do something crazy like that.
What moved you the most in your interview with the man who survived that's featured in your documentary, Splash?
Probably the thing that moved me the most is after he jumped, he's in the hospital, and he said the thing that pained him most was, and he's, you know, he's in a neck brace, he's got a broken neck, he's got a ruptured lung, he's got all kinds of things wrong with him, he's on, you know, extreme pain medications. But the thing that hurt worst of all was when his mother came in. And he felt so ashamed because his mother just didn't know why he had done this. And he had just hurt his mother so much that that was the thing that, like I say, was just the most powerful pain to him after the jump. Not the physical, but the mental anguish of that. He just felt so ashamed.
Maybe this is a good time in the middle to mention to folks who want to hear the whole thing where they can actually hear the full documentary.
Yes, it's available on my radio website, and it's simply SoundRich, SoundRich.com, and scroll down the from the first post to the second, and there's, you know, just a little about the piece, and you can listen to the piece right there.
What struck me as someone who likes to work on documentaries myself is the way you put it together, too. You really didn't hear your voice throughout. It was really more the voices of those involved, the law enforcement or the rescue folks who have had to deal with pulling people off of the bridge. The first-person account, of course, of the guy who jumped. What made you think about doing it that way? Because I thought it was very, very powerful.
Well, first of all, it was hard to find people who would, survivors who would talk about it. You know, if you jump off a bridge like that, you probably, the last thing you want to do is talk about the experience to the media. But Hans Jones, he was just so willing to talk about it. He was articulate. He's just a great storyteller. And, of course, it's all true because he's accounted this in, you know, in newspaper articles and whatever. He was just so compelling that after I interviewed him, I thought, this guy is so good that he can carry the piece. You know, he can serve, if you will, as the sort of the narrator. Because if you listen to it, you know, Hans tells a story in sections. It's before he jumped, when he jumped, later you hear when he's in the water, after that you hear what he's in the hospital, and then what he feels like today. You know, what he feels it's done for him in a way that it's been a positive thing.
Do you feel you've made a difference with this documentary?
Well, that's a good question. I guess time will tell, because if I did, then I give the credit to Hans Jones, because he tells such an incredible story, and it's so, in the end, so life-affirming that I think anybody, and he gives good advice, too. He just says, in the end, if you'll remember, he says, basically, calm down, take it easy, you know, things get better. He said, it may seem like the worst thing in your life, you know, it's just you can't take the pain, but he said, take it from me, things do get better. And I believe maybe people have rethought decisions like that, whether it's the bridge or something else, thanks to Hans.
Do I feel as though I've been given a second chance in life? The answer is absolutely yes. And then the most beautiful thing really did happen. I mean, so me and the girl get back together, and then it did work out. And I learned over the years to have kinder things to say.
You know, life is beautiful. And then, go figure, I still smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. The amazing part about it is, no matter how down and out your life feels in that moment, it gets better. You know? Hey, things have seasons. You know, maybe it is the worst pain you've felt in your life, or maybe your heart's broken, or, you know, and it gets better. Things get better.